Today on Real Radio.
So how's your business? Pastor, my business is going down the hole. I understand that. But how's your business with God? Oh, thank you for asking. It can't collapse. It's expanding. It's growing. It's the greatest place where we can invest. It's a kingdom coming forever. Here's the issue. Do we really believe it? I don't know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 19 records another of the Messiah's parables, this one having to do with business and economics. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to break it all down for us in a presentation called How's Your Business?
The gospel advances most prolifically when the world around it is hostile. Have you noticed the hatred? Are you listening to the news? The aggression against Christianity. Because of the powers that are in place currently over our nation, everything's starting to come out of the woodwork, and people want Christianity to be silenced. There's a big move right now in Washington, D.C. to silence Christian radio. Isn't that interesting? How does that sit with you? Amazing, isn't it? They know that we won't do anything about it, so they'll push the agenda. The gospel, whenever it's attacked, it's awesome. Remember growing up, those silly little stupid clowns with the sand in the bottom, and they're all funny, and you'd punch them, and they would go back and then pop right back up? That's exactly how the gospel is. You punch it, it comes back. You keep punching it, it comes back more. It's awesome. Whenever there's a world like our world is today that is anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, and trying to erase everything from our culture about Christ, try to find Jesus, by the way, in our public school system. Absolutely amazing. Whenever that world market, as it were, that marketplace of thought and idea comes against Christ, the awesome thing is for Christians is for us not to lose heart. Don't give up. Jesus said in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. Does not the world hate God? And sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. Isn't it interesting that in John 19, verse 15, the chief priest answered during the time of Christ's trial. He says, we have no king but who? Caesar. Remember when they said to the Jews, is this not Jesus your king? They said, no. We have no king but Caesar. They announced it. Don't you think God heard that? Oh, he heard that all right. People are saying that every day. Every human, by the way, every one of us has a king. Here's the funny thing about it. You say, I don't think so, Pastor Jack. You know what? You may be the king of your life. You are the guy. I am the king. Think of that. Every one of us has a king in our lives. No matter who you might be, you may think you're the king. Maybe your wife thinks she's the king. Maybe your husband thinks he's the king. Maybe the king's the company. Maybe the kids are the king. Heck, in my house, the dogs are the king. Whatever they want, they get, you know? Absolutely crazy. The truth is, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But everybody's got a king. Also, look at this. God's business is expanding. It's expanding with guaranteed results. This gospel generates, this Bible generates guaranteed results. Verse 15, and so it was when he returned in the parable. Christ obviously speaking about a future date when he comes, having received the kingdom. That was done, by the way, when he would go to the cross. He then commanded that these his servants, to whom he had been given the money that they might invest, to be called to him. Note it, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The Bible speaks of a day when every non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, every non-believer will stand and give an account. God will judge them. And listen carefully, every believer, non-believer and believer, will stand before Christ. Every believer stands before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will be judged before Jesus Christ for what they did in their bodies in this lifetime for the glory of God. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with God rewarding us based upon the opportunities He gave us and what we did with them. That's the believer. The non-believer has no hope because the non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, says that that non-believer stands before God the Father in judgment without Christ as advocate. By the way, you ought to take a pen, highlighter, or pencil right now. This is amazing. You want to know where you live? Oh, you don't live at your address, not really. You want to know where you live? You live between verses 14 and 15 of chapter 19. Where do you live? Luke 19, 14, 15. Between verses 14 and 15 is our lives being lived out right here, right now. Isn't that wild? He's coming back and He's going to take an account. Right now, you and I are to be investing in God's business. And we'll find out what that means. I'm going to give you a string of verses. I'm going to ask you to write them down. The first three are pretty easy. Why is getting out the gospel message, as Jesus will show us in a moment, why is getting the Word of God out to the world so important? This morning you may be sitting here and you could care less about people hearing the gospel. That's your business. Just know this. Your business will be audited one day by God Himself. Some of you are here are very passionate about getting the Word out to the world. That's your business. God will audit that someday. Do we not do that in life? Have you had your taxes done yet? I had my taxes done on Thursday night. We had an appointment at 8 o'clock and we left at 10:30. That's how exciting my tax appointment was. What's the goal when you have your taxes done? Don't you want to be squeaky clean so you're never audited? Or if you are audited, that you come out of it squeaky clean? There's going to be an audit someday. Christ is going to audit our lives. How will we stand? Why is getting out the gospel so important, church? Because listen, it's the way. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way. Correct? You can say amen if you think that's right on. Number two, it's easy. It's the same verse. It's the truth. We want to get the gospel out to the world because it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Same verse. John 14, 6. Same verse again. John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Note this. Verse number four. We want to get the message out to the world because it's the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul the Apostle said that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. There's no other hope. What are you hoping in? AIG? General Motors? What are you hoping in? Your 401? Have you seen the billboard along the freeway? It says 401KO. Knocked out. What are you saving for? Where's your money? The Bible says, watch out about money. You put your trust in money, it sprouts wings, it says in Proverbs, and flies away. America knows that right now more than anybody, and for that matter, the world. Why is getting out the message of the cross and of Christ so important? Because it changes people. I'm feeling feisty this morning, so hang on to your seats. You want to talk about change? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, not the taking away of it. But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You want to talk about real change you can believe in? Jesus Christ brings real change. You say, Jack, you're getting awful political. I've just started. You want to talk about change? Listen, you need to vote Jesus Christ into your heart. You need to cast the ballot for Christ. Hope you can believe in. Absolute change, because He changes us. This nation has been It came, it has been, and it's leaving. Nations come and go, the Bible says. America will not last forever. Don't fool yourself. Where's the Roman Empire? It's gone. Where's the Persian Empire? Gone. But there is a kingdom that will never fade away. In fact, it's a kingdom coming. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, God changes us by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:36 says it's our future. He who believes in the Son, that is the Son of God, has everlasting life. That word, you always read your Bible carefully, because the word in the Greek says this: he who believes in the Son possesses in his own bosom, in his own hands, eternal life. Don't you love that? Oh, man. You're not going to get it someday. The Bible says it's not going to come to you someday. The believer has it now. You guys, we've got salvation through Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and all the benefits. We are en route to receiving. The truth is, biblical theology announces you've got it if you're trusting Christ. Amen. Who are you trusting today? What are you leaning upon today? How's your business? Your business needs to be Jesus. Number two, second point, verses 16 to 23. How's your business? Because God's business is profitable. And I don't mean send in your money. Just send in your money. Trust God and send us your money. Bunch of clowns. I wish there could be a little button on your TV when the televangelist says, just send us your money. You could press the button. Hello? Excuse me, sir. You send me your money and let's see you trust Jesus. Oh, I would love that. Develop it. You got the brains. Make it happen. God's business is profitable, and I don't mean money. It's profitable because it cannot collapse. Oh, man. You guys, China's so mad at us. They could nuke us right now. Do you know why they're so mad? 50% of the cash. Did you know that China possesses more U.S. dollars than any nation on the planet? And when America crashed, guess what China was left with? 50% of nothing. They're freaking out right now. God's kingdom will not collapse. So how's your business? Pastor, my business is going down the hole. I understand that. But how's your business with God? Oh, thank you for asking. It can't collapse. It's expanding. It's growing. It's the greatest place where we can invest. It's a kingdom coming forever. Here's the issue. Do we really believe it? I don't know. But we know this. The Bible says of itself, the kingdom, God's word, will never collapse. Verse 16, then came the first man. He came to Jesus. He had been invested. The Lord gave him a mina. A dollar, let's just call it a dollar, an opportunity to invest. Mina is simply means this in Greek. It means 3 months' wages. Okay? 3 months. So 3 months' worth of work, income. The guy comes up and he says, look, Lord, I've been given this mina from you, and it has earned 10 minas. I put it out to invest it, and it's earned 10. That ain't a bad return, huh, Todd? That's not bad. Pretty good stuff. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Remember the issue was with this king-to-be from Herod, that he would inherit the realm. Jesus is saying, trying to communicate to the people, it comes across clearly, you were faithful with a little bit? Oh, that's so cool, because man, I'm going to make you, allow you to be faithful over great, great areas. And the guy, no doubt, jumped up and down. He was so excited. I'm sure. It doesn't say he was, but he had to be. Verse 18, and the second man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5. That is still awesome. The beautiful thing is, Jesus didn't say, well, how? 5? The dude next to you had made 10. Oh, church, be encouraged. Have you seen somebody being greatly used by God? Don't judge yourself with them. Did you know the book of Colossians tells us that those who judge themselves among themselves are not wise people? Are you thinking that you've got to achieve the exploits of a Chuck Smith or a Charles Stanley or a Charles Spurgeon or a Billy Graham for God to get interested in you? Oh, by no means. Did you know that, listen, are you guys listening? Every bit of opportunity and ability that God has given you, He is going to require a dividend from who and what you are. And what He's required is tailor-made to your life. Don't look at somebody and say, well, I just might as well not even try because I can't be like them. But God says, don't do that. Jack, you just be faithful to what I've called you to do. And on the other end, when the audit is done, you'll do fine if you stay faithful. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor Jack, what has God called me to do? That's for you to find out and to do it with all your heart and via or through His power. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. The kingdom will not collapse. And so Jesus here, verses 16 to 19, gives us an audit, a breakdown. You know what? You think about this, and I just mentioned to you a moment ago, we had our taxes done. And did you know something? Did you know that your tax man knows everything about your life, I now realized? Did you know that? You said, what do you mean? He knows everything. You say, what do you mean he doesn't know everything? You know what? He knows exactly where our priorities lie. How do you know? Because He looks into your books. He looks into your checking account. He knows exactly. He knows exactly how much money goes to here, how much money goes to there. What about your charitable giving? What about this? Your income? Any other income? What about interest earned? What about everything you lost in the market? What about all the... He knows everything! He could have sat there and went, boy, were you stupid to invest in AIG. I mean, I didn't. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? He knows everything. And where are those priorities? The kingdom cannot collapse. Matthew 16, verse 13 begins this way. Matthew 16, 13. I love this verse. Listen carefully. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? And so they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that just like Jesus? He doesn't care about popular opinion. Isn't it cool? God cares less about the polls. You know, the recent polls show that Christians... God doesn't care about polls. Jesus says, what do you say? And you know the story. Peter said, Simon Peter speaks up and says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went on to say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to remember that at a time like this. And I'll tell you the reason why. Did you know that cults in America are exploding? There are more and more cults being constructed and they're doing great. But did you know that, quote, mainline Christian churches are dying? Did you know that foreclosure rates on mainline Christian churches are up 50%? Churches are closing their doors. They're going bankrupt. And then you do, listen, I encourage you, go do a little bit of study. Find out what's happening to those churches. Amazing thing. I was interviewed yesterday on a news program. They were asking me about this. They said, what's with you guys? The Calvary Chapel movement is... I was honored to be responding for it. I didn't ask for that question, but the reporter said, we've noticed the Calvary Chapel movement is expanding. They're growing. They're adding seats. They're adding services while the mainline denominations are dying and folding up, closing doors, going bankrupt and foreclosures. What's the deal? And I said, listen, I'll tell you what the deal is. Here's the deal. When you substitute preaching and teaching the Word of God for sermonettes, for Christianettes, about 12 steps to financial freedom and 12 steps to make yourself feel better rather than the cross of Christ, which is the power of the gospel, then you will see churches die and maybe they should die and get out of the way. And I don't know if that reporter was ready for that response. You know the old saying, what movie was that? Build it and they will come. You know that baseball movie? There's a lot of concept. Build a church and people will come. No, 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 no. Listen, don't do that. Preach the gospel and they'll come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. A pastor just needs to proclaim the word of God. Every ministry that comes out of a church, proclaim the word of God. It's got to be based on the word of God. Why? It's the only sure thing that will never collapse. Even if this church is reduced to the side of a hill, it doesn't matter. Do you understand if an 8.5 earthquake knocks this building down, we'll just meet somewhere else. Hey, Jesus had people sitting on the side of a hill. It's biblical. Also, this, it cannot be concealed. The gospel can't be hidden. Verse 20, then another one came. Here's this poor guy that sadly is a picture of the greatest populace. Master, here's your mina. Here's your dollar, which I have kept, what? Put away. Oh my. And a handkerchief. By the way, handkerchief, that word, this is kind of poetic. Handkerchief, it's a word used for grave cloth. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, it said that his burial cloth was on one side and the handkerchief was on the other side, the head wrapping? That's what you wrap dead stuff with. Interesting verbiage, huh? Lord, here is your dynamic gospel that's alive. I had a funeral for it. I wrapped it up and I hid it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? The little kids sing that. Don't let Satan blow it out. Right? And you're not supposed to hide it. The kids 100 feet away from here in the other building, they know that. You know what happens when we grow up? We bury it at great, great detriment to us. Don't answer me. Have you ever witnessed to someone Jesus Christ, the gospel, and have you ever led them to Christ? Have you ever had the opportunity? Let me take that back. I know every one of us have had the opportunity. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? Did I quickly, because of embarrassment and fear, I don't know what to say. I'm a Christian, but I don't even know how to invite anybody into the kingdom of God, or I'm feeling funny, I don't want to say anything, and we wrap it up in a handkerchief and we bury it. And hope that the opportunity leaves. I don't want to lay some trip on us, but God had created that opportunity. The gospel cannot be concealed unless we conceal it. The greatest news the world has ever heard, that Christ died on the cross in my place. I was supposed to go there. He paid for my sins. He rose again because I was heading for hell and death. And he delivered that power from Satan into the Lord's hands and crushed the power of the grave. And the benefit is I get to go free. No, he says, I put it away in a handkerchief. I hid it. I played it safe. Imagine, can you imagine going to work tomorrow, telling your manager, hey, boss, I tell you what, I'll be here on time every day. You don't have to worry about me. I'll clean up after myself. My books will be perfect. But I just can't tell anyone about the products we sell.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called How's Your Business? It's a look at one of the Messiah's parables as recorded in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 19. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, earlier this week, we presented Dr. Lawrence White, a friend of Pastor Jack's, delivering a pro-life message to the church, including pastors. To hear it once again, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you missed it, please give it a listen. It's called The Sin of Silence by Dr. White. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information, including our mailing address, can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.